Shock the System. Welcome to Dank Discussions with your host, Calican CEO, Maynard Breslow. In each episode, you'll learn from the trailblazers, leaders, entrepreneurs, and influencers in the ever-moving, ever-growing cannabis industry.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome to Dank Discussions. Today, we're joined by Bo Schmidt. Bo is the co-founder and CGO, that's Chief Growth Officer, not a Chief Gangster Officer, as I thought it was, of Sunday Scaries. Thanks for joining us today, Bo.
Happy to be here. Stoked you're in Tel Aviv. That's awesome.
Yeah, I love it. You know, get to split time between Tel Aviv and LA. Not too bad, especially this time of year. I mean, it is hailing. We're talking to Tove's mother-in-law, who's in New Jersey, and she was like, "Oh, I feel so bad for you. You're in the hail today." Wow, you know, they got dumped on. They've been, you know, even in Texas, everybody's got going through it. But you know, we'll get into it as well. Where you're coming, you know. So today we're going to be talking to Bo here about mental health issues. You know, both that are prevalent amongst millennials and stuff that people are just dealing with. You know, today in 2021 with pandemic, everything going on, and what you guys are doing here. So it's going to be really cool. Now, I guess, you know, as we say, let's start off easy. Tell everybody where you're based out of today.
We're chilling in San Diego. We have our first virtual hire that's in LA as well. But our whole team besides him is in San Diego.
Sweet, sweet. San Diego's pretty good. You know, a quick drive down the 5, you know, and
no complaints, you know, still can go to the, we can take our dog to the beach and, you know, it's not too bad, especially compared to everywhere else.
Definitely. Definitely. No hail, no storms going on there, huh? Like the rest, like a lot of the country.
No, it drops to a chilly 60 at night and we're walking around. So
love it, man. Love
no
it.
Complaints.
Definitely. Definitely. I was just in LA a few months ago and it was incredible. But so cool, man. So, you know, I'd love to hear, you know, tell me about your background in terms of cannabis, not cannabis, and kind of what led you here to Sunday Scaries.
Yeah. So my business partner in 2017, we used to own a bar together. It was a full service restaurant, like 50 employees. And Mike and I were just stressed out, like really stressed. So we started taking CBD because we had heard of it. We knew it, you know, it didn't have side effects. It wasn't a stimulant. It was just going to chill us out. We fell in love with it. But back then it was still, you know, CBD was in its infancy. It wasn't newsworthy. It wasn't in the media. It certainly wasn't in like, you know, holiday gift guides and all that.
How was this?
This is 2017. You know, and we're buying from companies that were really either in two channels. They were either very medicinal focused and like the boomer generation, you know, marketing toward 50 plus men and women. And then the other side was like the cannabis realm. It was like, you know, a THC company that just happened to make a non-THC product. And we just felt that there was a big opportunity for a millennial facing brand that really spoke to the mental health issues that we think, you know, CBD can really help with. So that's, you know, also a lot of the companies back then were CBD this, CBD that, kind of derivations of cannabis in some way. And so we love the name Sunday Scaries. Almost everyone suffers from Sunday Scaries, that impending doom for Monday when you're, you know, 3 o'clock on a Sunday, when your fun weekend is behind you. And we felt it was a really relatable term to get our point across. So that's kind of how the idea sparked as a side project. And it really blossomed into like this really massive business for us that we are super passionate about.
That's awesome. Yeah, definitely. Sunday Scaries. You know, talking about the 3 p.m. post brunch, right? You know, you've had a few mimosas already.
Yeah.
You've had your avocado toast already. You know, you lost a few games or whatever. And then now it's like 6 p.m. You're like, oh, shit, I got work tomorrow, you know?
Yeah, you're screwed. Yeah. And, you know, and interestingly enough, like companies like Sleep Judge, LinkedIn, Monster, and a couple other, you know, kind of big data aggregators have done studies saying that 90%+ of millennials, Gen Xers, and Gen Zers suffer from Sunday Scaries. And so it's really interesting, you know, compared to the 20% of Americans that have a diagnosable anxiety disorder. So we're kind of going after that meaty 70% chunk in between.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's definitely something that's super relatable. What do you think that is that people in our age group, right, our generation, we totally relate to that. I think, you know, you're talking about earlier that a lot of these CBD companies were, yeah, for the boomers. And if you talk about the boomers, I mean, maybe they can relate, or maybe I'm completely off base, but it seems like it was just kind of like the normal thing, you know, yeah, you go back to work on Monday. What's the big deal? You know, kind of thing. Maybe they were dealing with their stress a little bit different, maybe different coping mechanisms, maybe unhealthy ones, maybe healthy ones. I'm not quite sure, you know, or maybe they're just dealing with different things that we have to deal with. But why do you think that it's so relatable nowadays with the work cycle, the way that it is, and that people seem to be having a tougher time today more than ever?
Yeah. Hard. And, you know, I remember being a freshman in college when like Facebook came out. And I mean, the first one that like these really unique things that plague the millennial generation, because millennials are, you know, 24 to 40 now. It's technological isolation, social media, student loan debt. And, you know, we've gone through this, this explosion of, you can see everything at any time. I mean, you know, we can see issues going on across the world in a split second, whereas it wasn't that obvious before. You know, smartphones, you have online dating, I talked about student loan debt, and then technological isolation, where people can make a living by sitting by themselves all day on a laptop and really not interacting with anyone. You have a lot of, you know, jealousy related issues because you're getting filtered versions of other people's lives. Kind of like this FOMO insinuation, but there's, you know, that's really common among millennials. And that's like what we really went to tackle. It's kind of like calming the mind, getting better sleep. Sleep is also a really unique thing that's plaguing millennials, sleep issues, because of the effects of blue lights. And, you know, serotonin and dopamine in your brain as you're trying to go to sleep, because people are on their phone until the second they fall asleep. And so that's what we really focus at, you know, to target. That's what we're targeting, and really opening the discussion around.
For sure. I think you definitely nailed it around the head. I mean, open up with Facebook, right? I think, you know, I don't know if you've caught it. What was it? Social dilemma, right? Social Dilemma over on Netflix. Yeah, definitely. It's so funny because it's not really that eye-opening, because it's all stuff that we all know, right? Just through our own experience, right? But, you know, seeing people who were executives from that time, from the original design, and saying like, yeah, like we kind of knew that we were enslaving people. We kind of knew what was going on. And in fact, we wanted that because we needed to drive up ads. We needed to drive up, you know, money. Yeah. Everything that was going on, right? And we see now the result, what's going on, you know? And I think obviously our generation has made a lot of progress in a lot of terms of, you know, pushing the envelope, social issues, things like that. But I think we've definitely been lacking in terms of how we treat ourselves, how we treat each other, right? We expect something out of society, but sometimes we're not even that nice to ourselves, right? We don't have that same kind of kindness that we would expect someone to treat someone else, or to treat us towards ourself, right? That kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Behind even behind the keyboard, how we treat each other behind the keyboard, right? Saying things to somebody else that you wouldn't say to them in real life, right? In regards to that, you know, so I guess, you know, with Sunday Scaries, it's awesome what you guys are doing. You know, is there kind of like a plan to kind of, you know, you're talking about sleep and other things, to kind of educate people in terms of all the things that kind of need. I know there's a lot of stuff out there already. It's not like, but you know, in terms of like, hey, you know what, this is like one step that you guys can do to.
Yeah. We put out a lot of content, with our research team about that. We also are working to build a community. I mean, it is really hard to build a community. You know, we're technically a startup, but probably a dinosaur in the CBD industry, because we're 3.5 years old. And I would say most of them started in the last year and a half. But, you know, building a community through Facebook group, our ops manager was just promoted to a director of community, because he's going to be focusing on subscription, retention, content, and value added for our regular users, and potential new customers. And so it's really opening the conversation and feeling like allowing our customers to feel like they have an outlet if they do feel alone and they're struggling against anxiety or they have questions around the products. And so, you know, it hasn't really been done before, you know, through a CBD product company. You know, there's obviously mental health support groups. And so we're trying to kind of blend the two right now.
No, that's amazing. That's amazing. You know, talking about social entrepreneurship and, you know, obviously we live in a time where, yeah, you know, it's we're not doing this for free. You know, it's not charity, so to speak, but definitely giving back in certain ways, giving to charity and also giving our time and everything like that and creating, you know, an education around these issues that people are dealing with. So tell me too, you know, you're talking about your bar, right? That you had a bar and that was kind of like your own, you know, experience, like, holy crap, like, this is crazy. I mean, and then I also want to talk about, like, you know, you're right about how ancient it is, you know, CBD already. Isn't that crazy? Like 4 years, it's like, really, you've been doing this for 4 years? Like that is, you know, it's like, especially in California where, you know, the recreational has been around, you know, what, 2015, somewhere around there. And so it's just kind of like, CBD in California, why would you do that? You know, it's when you can go to the dispensary, everything like that. But first and foremost, tell me about kind of that process, you know, being in, how'd you even find out about CBD, you know, having a bar and kind of taking that leap, and how's been things since then?
We were golfing with our buddy Garrett, and he had actually been taking a lot of Adderall. He was an investment banker, and he drops some CBD under his tongue and we were golfing. He's like, dude, this stuff doesn't get you high. It just chills you out and calms the mind. So we took some at the bar, and in the, you know, the bar can be a dark industry. There's a lot of other things you can do to ease tension in the bar industry. I mean, you're around alcohol all day. And we just, you know, we didn't want that. And so we started experimenting with it. We found a couple companies that we had really loved at the time, like, you know, Plus CBD. Our friend's family actually is one of the founding families of that company, and we really loved the products. They're based in San Diego, and Mike and I just, we were hooked. You know, the bar industry is unrelenting.
Brutal,
it is,
huh?
1,000 small fires without an economic upside. I mean, it's a dishwasher showing up stoned, a busboy selling coke out of the back, a line cook, you know, cutting his finger and being out for 2 weeks, a customer slipping in the bathroom and because they spilled water. I mean, you know, and you're also dealing with alcohol on a daily basis. People come there to let loose. And so it's not, you're selling a product that is inherently going to cause issues when you sell too much of it. So there's a very definitive revenue ceiling too. You have butts in the seats, hours in the day, and servings per person. And so we were just looking for something better than that. But one thing, like Mike and I, why we think Sunday Scary is one of the cornerstones of our success, was the customer service. It's the customer is always right. You always take care of the customer. I think that's something that falls short a lot. Is like, if, you know, we have a 2% return fee, so 2 out of 100 people contact us like, look, I didn't like your product, it's not for me. And we give 100% money back. If someone's bottle shows up damaged in the mail, send them 2 free bottles, right? And just making sure that they're always taken care of, in the same way that if someone's burger came out overcooked, like, we would hook them up with a free meal and an extra beer just to make them happy. But certainly selling CBD is a lot more rewarding than selling alcohol.
No, I love that too. I mean, I was telling you off, right? I have buddies that were in, you know, in the who are promoters and going to clubs and seeing how that wore them out, you know, every single night, like, yeah, the lifestyle. And it's just like, you know, work until 2 a.m., maybe party for a couple of hours, you know, until you go to bed, and then wake up at, you know, noon, 2, whatever, and do it over again. You know what I mean? And just kind of that.
Yeah, it was, you know, we're there at 8 in the morning, there till 3 in the morning, long days. You know, you show up and the homeless person broke a window. You know, the closing manager didn't check the patio, and it's a disaster. And there's just, there was just always things that we were used to. We're basically trying to operate by crawling backwards through mud. And so starting an e-commerce company back then was just, you know, with our like alligator skin for shit that could go wrong, will go wrong. It also like, it just worked out. Plus CBD, we could advertise on Facebook and Instagram with no policy complications. Like they would just let us advertise because it wasn't even against their policy yet. CBD wasn't like a big thing. So we grew pretty fast through channels that are not now available to us.
So back then it wasn't even on their radar yet, huh? It was just like...
Oh, I mean, you know, it wasn't really on the FDA's radar either. You know, 2018 when the Farm Bill went through and CBD was declassified as a scheduled drug like heroin, which is ridiculous to even think about. You know, back then it was like Facebook didn't care what CBD was. You could put gummies and some girl taking it on Facebook and sell, and everyone's like, oh my God, they would buy it because it was CBD and it was new. And so that was the evolution of ingredient-based marketing to now it's brand-centric marketing. Cause no one gives a shit if it has CBD in it, like what stands apart, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I definitely want to touch on that too. You know, in terms of, you know, creating that brand, because that's one of the things that I think stands out with Sunday Scary is, you know, first and foremost, like you were saying, right, you know, that medical look, right, the going after the boomers and kind of there's so many just like fish in the pond, you know, fish in the water, that it's just like, you know, what is this? What is this? They look the exact same, right? So that's what stands out a lot with Sunday Scary is first and foremost, you know, with millennials, right? With a whole different demographic that I feel like is overlooked in a lot of these cases, right? So talk to me about you know, I want to talk about the branding, how you guys came up with that. But also, you know, is it something that you found that millennials are like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. Or is it kind of like, you know what, I'm going to stick to my butt and in my beer or whatever else. Are you looking at that health and wellness? People are seeking that.
3, 2, 1, 0, ignition, liftoff. We at Calican are passionate about cannabis and CBD marketing, branding, SEO content, and web design. If you are a cannabis owner and you know you need an uptick in business or an upgrade in the way your customers perceive you, come check us out at calican.com and schedule a time to speak with us today.
Yeah, you know, we wanted to cross the bridge with the general public outside of the cannabis industry. So we really didn't approach existing cannabis users as our first customers. It was actually a lot of hospitality because we knew servers, bartenders, owners, you know, managers, bottle service girls, promoters. We were in the industry in San Diego, so that's kind of how we started. And what was the question?
Yeah, it was just about how.
Oh, the brands. Sorry. Yeah, and so like the last 2 years, we've been going through a brand evolution. I mean, everything from messaging, our brand archetype, what kind of personality our verbiage is going to have, our textures, our icons, literally wrapping everything together. Because in any industry, which we follow, deodorant, for example, like Native Deodorant did an amazing job taking an existing industry and branding it. And that sets them apart in the same way that Tito's did to the vodka industry, Tom's did to the shoe industry. And so, you know, when an ingredient launches, it's super exciting, but within a couple of years, the ingredient-based marketing, hey, we have this, the what is irrelevant. And you really need to focus on why. And so, you know, we've been mission-driven, relatable. We're speaking the same language as our target audience. And so those are the most, you know, important pieces of having, I think, a successful CBD company. It's really feeling like your CBD company is your target audience's own. They feel involved. They understand the brand. They feel like it's representative of them. You know, like we consider ourselves the Deadpool of the CBD industry. Yeah, it's like the anti-hero, right? It's Bruce Willis in Die Hard. You know, he's hero. He's not perfect. He's quirky, but you know, he gets the job done, and he will push himself to the edge to make sure that everything comes to a good conclusion. So
I love that. I love that. And definitely, you know, having that, that definitely got it on the pulse, you know, feeling exactly what people are looking for, right? Like you said, everybody's trying to do the same thing. And you know what? We're going to be a little bit off base. We're not going to be perfect, but we're definitely going to focus on, you know, that brand awareness and that brand personality. I love that. Definitely. I guess, you know, that brings me, you know, to something else. You know, you talked, it seems like, you know, being in there at the beginning, I'd love to hear, you know, you mentioned how when you first started off, you weren't on FDA's radar, Facebook's radar, anything like that. You know, 4 years, like we're saying, is ancient CBD. Is anything else that like really stands out in terms of the evolution of the industry, that you guys have seen being there from then? And that's kind of like, you know what, like no one really has been able to see that, you know? I mean,
a lot of it in the beginning was educational based marketing too. It was like, what is CBD, right? Is it THC? Does it get you high? Are there side effects? Can you take it with this and this and this and this and this? And I think, you know, by and large, the public is pretty knowledgeable about CBD now. So it's not like, you know, you'll see a lot of Facebook ads, the CBD ads that are confined on Facebook are informational based. And it's a lot of noise. There are a couple of companies that do a really good job at it because it fits their brand. But I would say now it's more about the why. One of my favorite TED Talks is Simon Sinek. And it's like, people believe why you're doing something. So, you know, why do we exist? You know, we exist, we have this vision of helping, you know, mental health in the next 3 years, where this is a non-toxic, you know, easy, low cost alternative that's non-addictive for helping with mental health. And we're excited for the studies that are going to come along with that.
No, definitely. And, yeah. So just a little bit more on the, you know, let's dig a little deeper on that why, on that, you know, going from that education base to that why base kind of marketing. What do you mean by that exactly? You know, that, you know, that people are searching for it, you know, get into that a little bit more.
Yeah. The why versus what is, you know, for example, Unicorn Tricky, candy we launched, a CBD infused rainbow strip candy that we launched, and we donate a percentage of proceeds to the Trevor Project. Trevor Project is dedicated to suicide prevention for LGBTQ youth, something that is very close to me and my co-founder, and signifies a very big loss for my co-founder. And so, you know, that's why Unicorn Jerky was launched. And we try to focus on mental health issues. And opening up those conversations, like I mentioned before. And, you know, right now we're trying to figure out the best way to really build that community up, beyond just a Facebook group, right? But feeling like people are part of something much larger.
No, thank you.
Versus the opposite side of that is we sell CBD gummies, buy CBD gummies because they have 10 milligrams and vitamins in them.
Yeah, exactly. Or you versus have the cannabinoid system, and you know, and this is what it does, your CB2 receptors, and you know, everything that goes along with that. But yeah, definitely, you know, telling that, and thank you for sharing that story. You know, it's I'm sorry to hear that, you know, in terms of your co-founder, everything. So but you know, it's these are the issues that we have an opportunity to change. So I love that you guys are doing that. I guess you know, well, that brings me up to another thing, is that you guys really have a unique kind of like offering, right? Where I think like everything's just kind of normal. You guys have even the names, right? Like Rando, Side Piece, the Cuddle Bundle, right? The Everyday Scaries, you know, and it kind of like all fits that brand, like you were saying, that brand personality, right? How do you guys come up with that kind of stuff?
Brainstorming sessions that sometimes include alcohol, weed, or just caffeine. But you know, one thing that we do differently is we independently brand every product. So it's not like Sunday Scaries and you have an, like we have our flagship gummies and oil, but everything under that is individually branded because like millennials, they all have their own personality. So Vegan AF is the vegan as fuck gummies that has like its own brand persona. And Tub Cubs are the bath bombs. It's not like Sunday Scaries bath bombs, it's Tub Cubs. it's not Sunday Scaries dog treats, they're FOMO bones, right? Fear of missing out, separation anxiety. We don't say separation anxiety for a medical claim, but you know, it helps with the to ease that tension for a dog when they're away from their owners or during fireworks or with vacuums or the mailman. And so that's, you know, that's a fun thing that we'd love to do though, because you know, then everyone, you know, anyone that buys that unique product SKU feels attached to it versus it just being under an umbrella.
Wow. And that's great. You know, in terms of, like you said, so many people want to talk about, you know, these words like anxiety, which are obviously big no-nos, can't do, mm-hmm. right? But you can talk about, you know, your dog getting scared at the fireworks, right? You can mm-hmm. talk about, you know, your, like you said, what to do when your owner's leaving, everything like that.
And tying it and anxiety is, you know, very top level. You know, you have, that's the pain points. But like we go down the funnel and like the goals, what are the outcome goals? What are the, you know, beneficial factors of taking that product? And it's, you know, for the cuddle bundle, it was, did you piss off BAE, right? Like that's, did you fuck up? Like, that's why you would buy that, because the stress that comes after that is the results. But why you're actually doing it is because you want a unique Valentine's Day product, or you want to fix something that you screwed up. And so trying to speak to more of those real life instances versus that like medicinal top level result. It's like Thanksgiving, we always do something around mother-in-laws and family.
Yeah.
Like it's, you know, you've got the whole family on your couch, or you're traveling and you've got all this stress related to that. And so those are, you know, that's why people take these types of products, to deal with those real life issues.
Yeah.
It's not just take it for anxiety because I have anxiety. It's like, oh, I'm stressed the fuck out because I've been sitting in my house all day in isolation, and I've got a wife, a dog, and a cat out in the living room that are trying to live their life as well. And that's why I'm really freaking out. That's what I'm looking to overcome.
For sure. I love that too at Thanksgiving, right? You know, when aunt brings up the politics, or when grandma asks why you're still sick, all that stuff, you know, it's like, how are we going to get
there? That's why you take these types of products, is to take the edge off. So all these little things impeding your life don't just disrupt your entire day.
For sure. And, you know, it sounds like it's been a really natural kind of like transition and progression from where you guys were, you know, being stressed out, bar owners, everything like that, and getting in really early, right? Getting in when you could still kind of scale in the ways that you can now, you know? So it sounds like it's been like kind of like smooth sailing. Can you tell me like something that as a business, you're still like, what obstacles you're still kind of having to overcome, you know, like what's the biggest thing you guys are trying to overcome now, even all these years later?
Yeah. It's definitely not smooth sailing. I mean, you know, manufacturing is always a challenge. Because the top GMP certified facilities, a lot of them don't work with CBD, but we have very high quality manufacturers. Financing is difficult because you're under a cannabis umbrella. Hemp is obviously a subsidiary of cannabis. And, you know, we bank through Wells Fargo, but any lines of credit can't come from that. So you have to find very unique financing, merchant processing as well. You know, and then the biggest one is scalability. You know, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Twitch, limited Snapchat, TikTok, Google, Amazon, and then YouTube under Google, none of them allow CBD advertising at the point where it would make a direct ROI for your business. And so, you know, we have to be very creative, agile, and finding channels that can scale our marketing and really get out our brand message.
Yeah, I know, definitely. I think that's something that we're all kind of dealing with, you know, mentioning obviously manufacturing, payment processing is a constant thing. You know, it's kind of like every year, every couple of years, there's somebody who's on our side and then kind of like pulls the rug out from under us, you know, or, you know, month by month, you know what I mean? And having to find that stability in those regards as well. But definitely, you know, still being able to get the word out, right? And scaling.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we have friends that own Organifi, that own Dr. Squatch, said an awesome Super Bowl commercial, and they have, and Manscaped, you know, and like talking to them, they're like, oh, we love this, this, and this. And we're like, oh, we can't be on there. You know, they can scale a massive scale on Facebook and reach who they want to reach. Whereas, you know, we're still trying to, you know, you still try to find that blended risk reward advertising campaign for a channel like Facebook, because as you scale, you might get to $5,000 a month, a meager spend on Facebook, and then their Facebook shuts it down. And it's just because it's related to CBD. So, you know, it's definitely in compared to other CPG companies, it's very difficult.
Sure. No doubt. And, you know, as the CGO, the chief grows, you know, and we talk about, you know, titles are ridiculous anyways. Right. But what do you guys have coming on down the pike? All right. What can we expect from Sunday Scaries in the future?
We have some new products. We're building a new websites on a new cutting edge ad tech. Which I can't talk about too much more. We made another key hire and promoted an existing ops manager into a community director. So a lot more community-based activations. And then some new products specifically focused for sleep without melatonin. And taking that approach. So we also have some new blends of our broad spectrum CBD, which we're really excited about. There's a lot of research coming out with other cannabinoids. So we're excited to use them more readily in our products.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah, definitely. And I'll be on the lookout for that. Is that something that you have, you know, I think something that's interesting as well. Sounds like you hire for everything. Is that true? You guys hire in house for everything, or do you guys have...
No, we're pretty small but mighty team. You know, we do have agencies that work on certain aspects of our business. But I would say probably between agency internal split right now, it's about 50-50 on campaign management versus in-house.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. No, definitely. And, you know, now, you know, as we start to wind down, you know, one of the main things that I always love to touch on, you know, obviously you shared a lot about yourself or everything, but you know, it's always great to hear people's stories. And it's also one of the things that interests me is what people define as success, right? So I'd love to hear from you. What do you define success as, right? Whether it be professionally, personally, spiritually, anything along those lines or anything else, you know, what does success look like for you?
Success is when I wear this hat out and it says Sunday Scaries and I go to another city and someone's like, hey, I love your product. And I take it on a regular basis. The cool story is when my wife and I went to Greece a year and a half ago, and we were in a cooking class, and three girls in the class that lived in Atlanta took Sunday Scaries. You know, and so we have a secret way that they can DM to get hooked up with free product, and our content director and our team hooks them up. But those types of interactions are the most meaningful when you're kind of blindsided with a compliment like that.
Dude, that's so dope. I love that. I love that for sure. So cool, man. You know, as we close, you know, how can listeners find out more about Sunday Scaries, connect with you, get your products, everything else along those lines?
You know, what's weird is I'm 34.
I just turned 35 last week. I'm 35.
I've been using LinkedIn more and more over the past year than almost any other platform. But LinkedIn is always a really good way to connect. And then, you know, you can always email in if you have questions. You know, we're in a bunch of direct response marketing, Facebook groups and CBD affiliates groups, you know, providing insights. And looking for insight too. So pretty accessible. All of our, you know, emails are pretty much on our site. So
sweet. Yeah, for sure. LinkedIn is great. That's how we connected, right? So
that's how we connected.
I love it. I love it. You know, it's awesome. So, and you're awesome too, man. I really appreciate it. I appreciate it. And I love what you guys are
doing. As are you. Appreciate you doing, reaching out.
Yeah, definitely. You said before, you know, an open book, definitely an open book. And I appreciate that. And you guys are definitely, you know, providing amazing services for people our age, right? You know what I mean? Things that unfortunately go under the radar too much, you know, and definitely people, anybody who's having problems at home, you know, encourage you to reach out and, you know, help and everything like that as well. So, but thank you.
We're just trying to tear through the noise, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So
that's what we're doing.
Thanks everybody at home for listening. wherever you're at, home, anywhere else. And thanks, Bo. I appreciate you. Thanks for coming on and sharing your knowledge.
Appreciate the invite and taking the time. This is awesome. Nice to dive into some Excel spreadsheets now.
Have fun. Yeah, we got a lot of stuff. Cool, man. Good luck to you and the rest of the year and beyond.
You too.
Thanks for listening to Dank Discussions. We are so grateful for each and every one of you. Please make sure you subscribe and leave a review. We want to continue making dank content you want to hear, so give us some feedback about the topics you want covered. Feel free to reach out to us at grow@calican.com. That's grow@calacann.com. And follow us on Instagram and Twitter for our latest updates.